stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my soul.
Our sins must be covered, our wrongs must be atoned. The younger one said, I don't understand why our sins can't be forgiven without the killing of my lamb. The Father took the young child by become the Lamb of God and take our sins away. There will come a day, no more sacrifice is needed, perfect grace will be completed. Oh my child, there will come a day. One day in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But he knew the plan of God would have to be, and in just a few short hours, there will come a day. Your defeat will turn to victory, for the cross that you carry bears the weight of all the world. There will come a day when the blood stains in your hands declare the hope for every man. Oh, my child, there will come a day.
No more longing for tomorrow.
Oh, my child,
there will come a day. No more night, no sin, no sorrow. No more longing for tomorrow.
Oh, my child,
there will come a day.
Hallelujah! Jesus is coming back. I love that one. What is going on in the election down south? Today I'm going to teach on an interesting subject. Is this the day of the Antichrist? No, it's not. Is this the day of the beast, the dragon? No, it's not. It's not here yet. And the proof is I'm sitting in this chair instead of up in heaven. Hallelujah. So before that Antichrist or the beast can come on the scene, the one holding back has to be removed. And I'm the one holding back. Anyways, I'm part of the church, the ecclesia, that is holding back the Antichrist, the Mr. 666, the beast. So what's going on in the States? What's going on with the election? Very interesting stuff. We had this thing from Texas where they brought a suit against these four states, Pennsylvania being one of them, and it was rejected. And I was studying this, and I figured if the court takes this one, it was going to be a slam dunk. So what happened is the courts did not take that one. And I brought this before the Lord. We have to remember there's another one pending. They put that one aside. That's the one for Pennsylvania. And here is what the prophecy says. It'll be like dominoes. And God is getting ready to touch the first one. And that'll topple all four of them simultaneously. So the one in Pennsylvania is still, they're still going to judge on that one. They haven't taken it up yet, and I believe they will. The reason I believe they will is because when they rejected the one from Texas, I brought it before the Lord. I said, Lord, I've been following this, and I believe totally, I know who's going to win. And it's not because of what I see in the political realm. It's what I see in the spiritual realm. But I need a little. I've been listening to your prophets. And I need a little encouragement myself. So, Lord, would you please talk to me? That was before I went to bed on Saturday. And then during the night, I woke up. Now, listen very carefully. I woke up, and I was waking up to me arguing with God. Anybody does that ever? I do sometimes. And here's the argument. I was fully awake. I knew exactly what I was saying. I was bringing these three justices before the Lord that rejected the suit. And these justices, and I brought their name out perfectly. Usually I forget names. I don't even remember them now. I think one is Kavanaugh and Amy, or is it, and whoever the other one. But I was talking clearly. I remembered the names, and I was telling God, you better come to those justices. If they want to bring a judgment against abortion, they have to take a judgment that is going to bring them to that place where they can bring a judgment against abortion. You better talk to them, God, because they need to understand what's at stake here. Because all of this is about abortion. It's about bringing down Roe v. Wade. I simply call it abortion. So then I heard the Lord speak very clearly to me. It was a voice, not an audible voice, but he was speaking to me. I heard him clearly. And here's what he said. Esther, Queen Esther, brought the hammer down on Haman on the second banquet. At the second banquet. And whoa, I was thinking, what's going on here? So I laid there a while, and I came to myself. It seemed I was in shock. So I got out of bed, went to my Bible, opened it up, and it said very clearly, and on the second day of the banquet, Esther brought the hammer down. Esther spoke to her husband and said, here is what Haman has in mind. Anybody who knows who Haman is needs to read the story of Esther. So I read it, and sure enough, Haman got hung on the gallows. As I went back to bed, I said, Lord, I distinctly heard you say on the second banquet. So I went to bed. And the next morning, I read the story again. And sure enough, Esther walked into the king and said, and the king asked, what do you want? What is your request? I invite you to a banquet, you and Haman. And when they came to the banquet, they were eating and drinking. And the king asked, what is your request? And Esther said, I want you to come to another banquet that I'm going to have. That's the second banquet. You and Haman need to show up. And if you read the story, it's interesting that on the second day of the banquet, Esther brought the hammer down on Haman, and he got destroyed. So I firmly believe, I'm not totally sure, that the banquets are talking about the lawsuits. They will take the second lawsuit, the one from Pennsylvania. So I want you to watch this. I'm not a prophet. I just heard from God. I believe it was the voice of God. And we will see what will happen. See if I'm a prophet of God whom God talks to. I'm not ashamed to speak this. I've talked to God a lot. And if it's going to be this way, it's going to be this way. If not, then somehow, somewhere along the line, everything's wrong that we're talking about these days. So God is not mocked. The world system has sown a lot of terrible stuff. They have sown corruption. They have sown unbelievable pedophilia. They have sown such a division that they will reap what they sowed. They are going to be brought to justice. And we're going to watch it. It's out there today where people are waking up. They're seeing and looking on in disbelief at what happened to this last election. It's not voter fraud, it's election fraud across the board. And I have a feeling the same thing is happening here in Canada. So we're going to see these things taking shape. Look up, God is in control. He's not fooling around. It's just that it takes so long to get everything into play. And once he brings the hammer down, there'll be people screaming for mercy. Anyways, I will get to my message today. Are we in the day of the Antichrist? Absolutely not. The beast is not around because I am still here. Hallelujah. I love to speak like this because I'm part of the church that holds back the evil. I have been praying. There's about 400,000 to 500,000 people that have been praying over the last 2-3 months against this injustice that is being done. I've become part of it, and a lot of other people that I know. So the Antichrist is not on the scene yet. And I will prove it to you in Scripture. But before we get into it, I'll ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I ask you, Lord, that you will open our hearts, fill us with joy, peace, help us to have patience and to understand the signs of the times, so that we, O God, can be of use to you, Lord. There are so many Christians just sitting there hoping and wishing and don't know what's going on. So, Lord, you will bless your believers and open their hearts to the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things said he that is holy and he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shutteth that no man open." We have to remember, God has given us these keys. We either open the door or we close it. Many Christians already know how to use those keys, whatever situation they're in. I've heard of incredible stories, people that I know, people that I've talked to, who knew how to win against incredible odds. "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength." The little strength that you have is the faith that you have. And then God adds big strength. That's what this means. You have a little strength, a little faith, a mustard seed faith, brings on the power of the universe when you start speaking. "For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee." I was listening to a few preachers not too long ago on YouTube. They're interesting people, those prophets. And the Lord has shown them that these scriptures are for today, exactly what is happening today. God has given us keys to open or to shut. We're keeping back the Antichrist, the globalists, are trying to come in and take over this world. It's not only the globalists, it's also the Chinese. So what is pushing it back? What is holding it back? It's the people of God. It says, "I have given you the key to do that." And then it says, those that say they are of God, they're not. The news media and all these people who have been spreading evolution, they claim they know everything. They're not. They're of the synagogue of Satan. And it says, they lie, they do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship at your feet. This worship here means they will come and acknowledge that we were right. Well, what a day that will be, and it's not too far from now. And to know that I have loved thee. So, these are the scriptures that are being fulfilled right now. They will have to admit that we were right and they were wrong. Isn't that going to be a good day on Facebook? If Facebook is still around, hallelujah, because those guys are on the wrong side, they're going to lose. So this is what we're seeing happening. Watch it with anticipation. Don't lose your patience. God is on the throne and he's in control and things will happen. Will we go into the tribulation? Absolutely not. Why? Because it's a time of Jacob's trouble. It's God who is dealing with the Jews. Yes, he will bring many Gentiles unto himself during that time. It'll be a harvest because the harvest is already beginning. And it'll reach its climax during the tribulation. Revelation 3:10, it tells us, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. That's the hour of trouble. That word temptation here means the hour of trouble that is coming upon this earth. The Bible teaches us this world will see trouble it has never been seen before. Think about it. All the grass drying up. All the trees just drying up like this. The oceans turning to blood. It tells us that a loaf of bread, you will work all day to be able to earn a loaf of bread. It's unbelievable. The stars will, it'll be so hot that people, it says the Bible teaches us, that they will curse God because of the heat. And no rain for the last 3.5 years. Things will simply disintegrate. Billions of people dying in months. Go through the book of Revelation and you will find things that are strictly unbelievable when we look at them today. But already God is showing us these things are going to happen. By this COVID-19, our eyes are opening up. We're starting to see. We are arising from our sleep. Our sports gods are gone. The gods that we worshipped up till now, God is taking them away because he says it's time the real God shows up for his bride, and it'll be very soon. It says, I will keep you from the hour of tribulation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So I want to show you something here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Many people today on the internet, people calling, are we in the tribulation? Is this the start of the tribulation? The question I have is this. Do you hear anybody claiming that he is God? There are some that claim that they're Jesus. There's one in Russia, I think. He got arrested not too long ago. And there's one in the Philippines. There's one in South America. They dress like Jesus. Did anyways the way they think Jesus dressed. Long hair and a white gown. Anybody can do that. But it says, now I beseech you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brother, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, be troubled neither by spirit, that's an evil spirit who could come and tell you these things, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, or by the news media. Don't be troubled by them. Don't be shaken in mind, as the day of the Lord Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And many, many preachers who study the rapture say that this means a taking away from this earth, the church being taken out. But I also say it's a falling away from believing in God. Look at what the evolutionists have done to the peoples of this world for the last 100 years. People now, young people, doubt that God exists. They do not believe in creation. They believe in the garbage that is spewed at them from the schools. And now look, it says, there is a falling away. They are turning away from God. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. For those of you who think you're in the tribulation, is there anybody out there who now claims to be God? I haven't seen anybody yet who claims that they're God. But there's one coming. He's called the beast. He's called the Antichrist. The Mr. 666. He's on the horizon. Get ready, because we're heading towards that time. It tells, and why isn't he here yet? Why hasn't he shown up? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 6. And now you know what withholds, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity does already work. The spirit of the Antichrist is all around us. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. This simply means the one holding back will hold back until I am taken out of the way. I love this one. Until we, the church, are taken out of the way. There's things that I know about people who have kept back evil, who have changed things. I've talked to them personally. Unbelievable power of God behind them. And now people are, they're starting to wake up to the power that God has given to the church. The doors were supposed to open, we can open them. The doors that were supposed to close, we can close them. God is opening people's hearts to the truth of that. And now we are here, standing in the way of the Antichrist. He cannot appear, because I'd be the first one to tell him he needs to get out of the picture. How many preachers are out there folding right now because of a few laws that are giving? They can't stand up to the governments who are working for the world system. How many are folding? How many are spitting in God's face? God is weaseling out. He's weeding out all these fake pastors that are in churches today. He is showing the common people who they have been following. He is showing us what power we can have. We do not need a preacher. We can turn to Christ ourselves. We can be that powerhouse without anybody. Yes, the Bible teaches us, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, especially as you see the day approaching. That's to encourage one another, so that we can encourage each other that the power is ours, the love is ours, and the joy is ours. It says that wicked one, that Antichrist, the mystery, the church is holding him back. And when that is taken out of the way, then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. There's not going to be any contest, none in whatsoever any way. What the tribulation is for the Jews. God, there's 7 years left for God to deal with the Jews. When you study the book of Daniel, there's a 7-year period left that stopped when Jesus was crucified. The countdown stopped. When Jesus was crucified, the church age began. And one of these days, the church age is over. That's when God again deals with the Antichrist. When will the church age be over? Exactly the day when God fills his count for his bride. Oh, Mr. Perry F. Rock used to say, let's preach the gospel. Maybe we'll reach the last one today, and then we can all go home. It's a happy thought, and I'm working towards that. I want people to get to know God, and that is because I'm already homesick, and it's getting to be more every day. We need to reach that last number, that last one that's supposed to come to Christ. And then we can go home. Hallelujah. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, even him, listen to this, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Do you see anybody out there today that does these things? I don't know of anybody who's into the powers of Satan who does signs and wonders. Some of them do a little bit, but you don't see them on television yet. And the Antichrist will be on TV. You'll see him from your living room. It says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they love not the truth. Wait, I have to do this. It says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. They don't want to hear the word of salvation. The Bible teaches us something interesting. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God. That's all we have, and that's all we need, and that's all we want, is the power of the cross. But to them that don't care, it's foolishness to them. So God, what does God do for this cause? God shall send them strong delusion, and that's what you're seeing all over the world, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. This is what we're saying. People are choosing sides right now. They don't want the gospel. They want Satan. They want pleasure. They want the things of the flesh. And just for a short season. If you live to be 90 years old, you die. You can't go on very long on this earth. Your body slowly rusts away from the inside. And one day it says, I'm finished, and you're gone. The question is, where are you? It's either the eternal glories of God or the eternal damnation of the lake of fire, where the Bible teaches us the smoke of their torment shall arise forever and ever. Are you now in a place where you're teeter-tottering on deciding who you want to follow, the world or Christ? You better make a decision, because going back and forth, God may say, have it your way, it's your choice. The Lord, I believe, has already given many over to a reprobate mind. You can see it in the news media. Their mind is totally godless. They make godless decisions. That's why you see the decisions the governments make, they simply don't make any sense whatsoever. A child understands that, and they want to debate it. Don't even try, because they don't make sense. Why do they make those decisions? Because their mind is completely for themselves, and Satan is influencing them. God has backed away from putting a stop to those evil and foolish thoughts they have. He's allowing them to go down the path of destruction. What a horrifying place to be. And then in 2 Peter chapter 2, I love this one. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. That's not talking about being tempted by this or being tempted by that. Temptations here means exactly the same thing it means in Revelation chapter 3. It means tribulation. God knows how to keep you from tribulation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So for God, here's what God is going to do. It says it very clearly. Those who love him, the godly, he will keep you from the temptation, from the tribulation. But the others, the unjust, they are heading for judgment and punishment. What a horrifying thought when you study the punishment of the unbeliever. I've studied it since I've been a Christian. I knew about it before I was a Christian. That's why I became a Christian. I felt the flames of hell licking at my boots. I knew I was heading for the eternal lake of fire because that's what I was taught. And when I studied a little in the Bible, that's what it was telling me. I was terribly scared. I wasn't scared of anything in those days except for one thing. And that was dying and going to hell. I wasn't even afraid of dying. I was afraid of going to hell. I knew that I was going to be there for eternity if I ever entered into that place. But then Jesus showed up. Hallelujah. He showed me his kind face. He showed me his loving heart. He showed me his beautiful heaven that he has for me. And he said to me, Dave, come. Come, I have a place for you. All you have to do is take it. And let me tell you, I did not hesitate one second. The minute God opened my eyes to that truth, I went for it like somebody running out of a house that's burning, even faster. And God opened my heart and my eyes and my ears to the truth of how the world is operating, of how these people around me are thinking. And since then, I have devoted my life to telling them that Jesus saves, Jesus loves you, and you need to come to him so that you will be able to be a partaker of that heaven that I am going to be partaker of. So come to Jesus today. Don't wait till tomorrow. It could be forever too late. Give him your life, your heart, and God will bless you with eternal life. Hallelujah. Let the Lord bless you and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.